powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by Charles Higgins, founder of Pinnacle AI. Charles, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Hey, it's great to be here, Corey. Thanks for having me on the show.
Really looking forward to this topic, which is tips on recruiting employees. I love your passion behind that. But before we really get into this episode, I'd like you to take a few minutes and tell the audience who you are, your work history, and what got you to this point.
Yeah, so I've been in the automotive industry for just about 25 years. I actually started at the manufacturer level as a sales trainer for Toyota Motor Corp. So did that just as websites were starting to come out. Toyota was putting out their first CRM. So I started with Rolodexes on the wall. That was our CRM. And manufacturer opportunities. We didn't even call them internet leads back then. They all came off a dot matrix printer, and they were just whoever snatched it first was who got it. So that's what I started with. And then spent about 4 years with Toyota, and then went down to the dealership level. And wore just about every hat there was to wear in the dealership over 20 years, and found a passion for really being able to help dealers and individual sales professionals build their own personal brand, build the company brand, and really connect with their customer through social media and digital marketing.
Wow, that's really impressive. To work for the manufacturer, how did you like that?
You know, I loved it. It was a very interesting time. Toyota was just releasing its first quote unquote CRM. It wasn't much of a CRM then, but it was a very interesting time in automotive. When dealers were just starting to understand that, hey, maybe we do need a website. maybe the billboard on the side of the highway isn't the only means of advertising anymore, the newspaper. So it was a really interesting time.
I like that. So tell us a little bit about Pinnacle AI. What is Pinnacle AI?
Yeah, so Pinnacle AI, we're a full stack digital marketing agency. So we don't just leave people with, oh, hey, we can do social media content for you. Yes, we can help you out with your social media advertising, but we actually provide software as well. So we want to give dealers and individual salespeople the tools and systems and processes so that they can scale effectively through automation and AI. So we have a CRM platform, a social media management platform, and then we offer digital services when it comes to content and advertising.
Wow, that's really impressive. Thank you for sharing that little bit about you and about Pinnacle AI. Let's jump right into this episode, tips on recruiting employees. Recruiting, whether it's in the auto space, RV, or power sports, what are some tips that you can give us to really get that next employee? Because you hear the industry is hurting for, whether it's salespeople, leadership, technicians, right? Service advisors. What are some tips that you can give us?
Well, I think, for a long time, we've talked about going to colleges and tech schools and recruiting from that level. But I really think the biggest tip is to start early, and you can't start early enough. And, I look at the transition of where we're going in the future, where we're going all electric, or mostly electric. That's being pushed really hard in automotive right now. But even without that, you look at how much computers and programming are involved in everyday mechanics anymore, And so I think we need to start earlier. I think, and this may sound crazy, but I think we need to start in middle school. I'm looking at my middle school kids, and they're doing programming. They're doing robotics. All these necessary skills that are the next generation of mechanic. Our next generation of mechanic is not someone that can just turn wrenches. It's going to be someone that has those computer skills and those programming skills, because that's today's vehicle, and it's only going to get more so that way over the coming years.
How would you start with, let's say we when we take that idea of starting with middle school, because I love where you're going with this, you know, because you're right. They're technology, they're born with it in their hands. The minute we tell them go, right now they're in, you know, this middle school age, they're just sponges, right? So they're learning all kinds of stuff, building, you know, technology, you know, these robotics things. This is a real, I mean, they have competitions and teams around these things. If you're a dealership, where would you take this idea and run with it? How would you start it?
Yeah, I think, you know, one way that you could do it is just simply going to the middle schools and finding those kids that have a huge passion for electronics and programming and robotics, you know, going to those schools and letting them understand how that, what they're learning in seventh and eighth grade from their teachers and in these programming and robotics classes, how it can be implemented into automotive. They may not have that connection. So I think it's on, you know, independent repair shops, dealerships, to go out to these middle schools and say, hey, the things you guys are doing right now, guess what? That's what powers your parents' vehicle. That's what gets you to school every day. Even the bus that you're riding on, they're getting even more advanced. And help them form that connection of what they're doing in the classroom in seventh and eighth grade will apply to their everyday life through automotive, but then also they can see it as a potential career later on that, hey, you know, you may think of a mechanic as someone that just turns wrenches, but I'm telling you, all you kids sitting in here in front of a computer, you're the mechanic. When you graduate high school, guess what? You're going to be the mechanic. It's not going to be turning wrenches anymore. You know, yes, there will still be some of that. We'll still have a need for that. But as we keep progressing in technology, that's going to become even more crucial.
I really like that. So as a dealership, you're saying, you know, start earlier, right? Do almost like a needs analysis, find out what these, if these kids are interested in this type of stuff, and then what? Sponsor a class or have it be part of the curriculum in a school or an after-school program? What's that look like?
Yeah, I think an after-school program would be great, you know, especially for kids that show interest in mechanics and technology. You know, it's just, it just goes together. If they have any inclination towards automotive or, you know, industrial or anything like that, you can really start to cater a little after school program. And listen, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Heck, they may even teach you things that you didn't even know. I know my kids do every day when it comes to technology. But then I think, you know, by having an after school program or even a during school program, it opens up another huge door for repair shops and dealerships. You know, that something that I've come to realize as I homeschool my oldest son this year. This is the first year we were doing homeschool. And one of the biggest things with homeschooling is finding things to do outside of the classroom. So we look to co-op programs. You know, now there's photography, there's all these different things that he can get involved in, but there's nothing automotive based. Now he's grown up around automotive. I have nothing to do with him automotive based. There's no programs out there that are automotive based. And how great would it be to open the doors to this huge and growing network of homeschoolers that have this technology interest and introduce them as well? I mean, they're going to need jobs at the end of the day, just like any other kid that's going through school. So why not create a program to where we really embrace that and help them through their educational journey? And then we're just catering to the next generation of auto mechanics.
You know, Charles, I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of, you know, different avenues of recruiting and this and that. You know, my personal one that I always loved, because I have a great story with it, is that I would look for opportunities to find people in different industries to see if they would be compatible with the car industry. But you, this whole thing of going earlier in middle school and having car clubs, if you will, because I remember, you know, in school we had, you know, chess club, car club, right? All those different clubs, but you're taking it to another level with those, with that club, is that you're educating and almost doing a platform of, I'm going to teach you something and you're going to teach me something. Right. And then as that progresses to go, you know, into 5, 6, 7 years down the road, now all of a sudden they have tools, they have a trade, and they can either take it to another level and go to college or trade school, or they can be right in the dealership that is sponsoring this co-op that you're talking about.
Yeah. And I think one way, you know, and of course there's always a concern as well, how much is it going to cost for us to do something like this? It doesn't necessarily have to cost anything. You know, I know that, you know, speaking of homeschoolers, they're home all day long. So during normal business hours, they are available for the most part. And like my son, I mean, he's done with his school every day in like an hour and a half. So, and the rest of the day, you know, he's doing different things. But if a dealership could open up their parts department, okay, so we'll take in some risk here, you know. So let's say, you know, they're 13 years old. We don't want them in the shop, obviously. They're a little bit too young for that. But in the parts department, what are they truly going to hurt in a parts department? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
They're not. But you may be wondering, okay, now what the heck are we going to do with a 13-year-old in the parts department? Well, you could start to just have them sit there and watch how you interact with technicians. They'll ask questions about, well, what does this mean? How does the oil get from the 50-gallon drum back there all the way out to the car? And they'll start to learn the mechanics and the electronics and how it all works together in this beautiful system that we call our automotive repair, you know, or fixed ops. And I think starting early is just the key to this. And then you could have them do little things. Hey, do you want to sort these parts? It'll trigger questions. They'll be, what's this? I don't understand. What the heck does this go to? Or, you know, it just triggers curiosity. Children, kids, you know, especially when they're in that preteen age, are very curious. And so if we can put them into an environment where they have the ability to ask questions and learn more, they're going to. And it's going to drive that interest and drive that desire to maybe think about, hey, this might be something I want to do down the road.
Yeah, or give them something to fall back on if they, you know, to do something, you know, within the industry. And then later on, they find out they really love it. I mean, I like throwing them in the parts department. They can learn inventory control. They can do stocking shelves, right? They can be around all that lingo that they can understand as they progress, what an O2 sensor is, a catalytic converter, right? What makes the engine really go? I love that. So this is really mind blowing when you really open this Pandora's box, if you will, of starting early, right? And you're right, the dealership doesn't have to spend a ton of money, and who knows, maybe the manufacturer could participate in this, right? There are some dealerships that in colleges, they're having the curriculum, you know, to go through automotive, right? So why not, like you said, why not do it earlier, right? The vehicles are different than they used to be. I mean, we're talking more EVs coming out every year on the road. We're talking about infrastructure and charging those EVs. This EV is really going to be more of a computer than it really is going to be turning wrenches, like you said, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, manufacturers are looking at, I look at Ford. So Ford has a STEM program. Guess what grade it starts in?
What grade does it start in?
Sixth grade.
Huh. Interesting. So
very few people know about it, but they do have a STEM program that is specifically catered to kids in that middle school age. And then they hope, and that's their work to try to get understand that, hey, and they start with Legos. You know, they build cars with Legos and, you know, but they're connecting with the kids and they're driving that interest. And that's what we need to do, you know, in the fixed operations world. I think we need to start younger while they're, like you said earlier, sponges, and they want to learn. They want to explore and learn new things. Why not give it to them? You know, you never know, because when they graduate, you know, 13 years old, well, in 5 years, they're graduating high school. That could be your next service rider.
Right.
While they're going to, and if it continues to drive that interest, they could be service riding for you because they already kind of understand how it all works together. They'll still need some training, you know, to be able to service ride, but that could be your next service rider while they're going to school for additional training.
I love it. So other than this, this is a huge eye-opening tip, right? Are there any other tips for recruiting employees that you can think of?
Yeah. And one quote I always go back to is, I've been with Ford for a long time, so I've read a lot of Henry Ford's quotes. And a quote that he said was, "The business that focuses on service will only have one problem when it comes to profits. They'll be exceedingly large." Now, a lot of people take that. It's a great quote. But a lot of people take that just to the service to the customer. But I also take it to the service to the employees. You have to, in today's job market, it's not just, you have to understand, it's not just about money. It's not just about necessarily moving up the rungs of the ladder. You have to serve your employees, because they're serving you. And if you don't put them first, you know, the biggest thing with recruiting right now is that you have to understand that you need to serve your employees. You need to create a culture where they feel served just as they're serving you. And I think that's something that's missed a lot of times. And there's a lot of opportunities that are missed because of that. You have to put them in the forefront of your mind constantly and really stay in touch with what they need, because what everyone needs is different. And, you know, there's a reason why there are slowly but surely different service departments across the country that are going to highly modified work schedules. 3 to 4 day work weeks.
Yeah.
Because they are more interested in serving their employee. They don't want it to be just a one-way street. They want it to be a two-way street. How can we best serve you? We understand we can give you more money, but that doesn't make all your problems go away.
Right.
It doesn't give you time with your family and your friends and to have a life outside of the dealership. So how can we better serve them? Well, I think some dealerships are doing it by going to that modified schedule and being able to serve them in a whole new way that, you know, growing up in the world of automotive that I grew up in, that would have never happened in a million years.
You know,
you'd have been drug out back if you even talked about working one less day, let alone two or three less days a week. So it's, I think it's just time that we really focus on the employee and what their actual needs are and understand that it's just not about money. You know, the pandemic brought about a huge change in automotive and in employee retention across all industries. And that's that it's not all about money. It's not all about moving up in position. People want that work-life balance. And I think if we come out in the forefront of that, it will help our recruiting efforts. If we say, you know, I'm sure the dealers that are out there doing the 3 to 4 day work weeks, they've probably got people beating down their door to come work there, because they've never had that opportunity before.
Right. So in your mind, with this, you know, putting the employee first, which I absolutely love, where, you know, if you're in a position of leadership, you're a servant leader, right? Mm-hmm. So how can the dealership change that culture or convey to the employees that this is what we're going to do? How can they really show that they truly care for them?
Well, I think it all starts with communication. You know, we really have to open up. We have to take the door off the wall, get rid of the door to the office, and open that communication channel. And just understand at the end of the day, you know, I talk a lot about B2C sales and B2B sales. And I always say they're exactly the same. And people will find me back and like, no, they're not. They're two totally different people. I'm like, they're not. Because everybody makes a decision based on emotions. Yep. You need to understand that your employees are making decisions emotionally based. So by ripping that door off the hinges and opening that door to communication, you can start to understand the emotional side of what benefits them or what they feel would benefit them. But it starts with having the conversation. You need to be having regular conversations, not meetings, conversations, like two regular emotional human beings, and understand that at the end of the day, we're all just people. No matter what the dynamic of employee or employer, you have to have that connection.
Yeah, that's spot on. I love that. So we're right up against the time, but before we wrap this all up, I'd really like to get your three major takeaways from this episode that in your mind, a service manager, service advisor, an agent, someone in leadership at the dealership can really take away from this episode.
Yeah. So I think number one is you can't start early enough when it comes to recruiting and trying to build a future culture. You cannot start early enough. The thought of keeping it to just college or high school is long gone. We need to start earlier than that. The second thing is service. You have to understand and remind yourself every day that you need to be serving your employees. You need to be that, like you said, that servant leader, and understand that that is a powerful dynamic that you can provide your employees. And then the third would just be communication. You have to open those communications, rip the door right off the hinges, take it down. There should be no barrier to entry. You have to have that open communication, and you'll find that you'll learn a lot through that process, you know, as a manager or a, you know, operations supervisor, whatever your title is. You'll learn a lot by just ripping that door off and keeping it off.
Yeah, I love that. So I had the pleasure of going to a dealership. It was a Ford dealership, and the COO was walking me around. He knew everyone's name. He took me to every nook and cranny of the dealership. And you're absolutely right. When you have that relationship with those employees, you learn so much more than you would if you just went in your office all day and just closed the door and looked at the numbers, right? Which yeah. is what we used to do. I love that. Thanks for sharing those three takeaways. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their friends, their family into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Charles, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode and bringing these amazing thoughts and ideas to us. I'll ask this last question like I do with every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. Would love to. Enjoyed the time and would be happy to come back again.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Passion. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.